Now? Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is a regular meeting of the Pismo Beach City Council, and today is Tuesday, February 7th, 2006, and it is now about 4:34. And roll call, please.
Mayor Reese?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G?
Here.
Councilmember Rabinoff?
Here.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Here.
Councilmember Natoli?
Here.
Thank you.
And would Dr. Paul Jones please read our invocation, and please remain standing for our Pledge of Allegiance.
Will you please bow your heart with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, America's founding fathers gave us a constitutional republic. Because of the wisdom and the convictions of these righteous people, we are free today. But cause us to never forget that we could die as slaves if we lose sight and lose understanding of a basic truth, and that is that freedom cannot exist without morality. Immoral men and women cannot long exist and will cease to exist. History is filled with such examples. Character and moral fortitude is a requirement if we are to be able to govern ourselves. And when morality and righteous lifestyles decline, then the abuse of rights increases. To abandon moral principles and righteousness, we will lose our freedoms. Our freedoms come from God. And God gave certain inalienable rights before any human government existed. People joined together to form human government in order to protect these rights, not to grant them to us, nor to legislate out of existence these inalienable rights. So make us men and women who are unintimidated, men who value moral righteousness above public acclaim. We remember the words of George Washington, our first president, who said, "It is impossible to rightly govern without God and the Bible." And we are reminded today that all 50 states in our union, without exception, acknowledge God in their state constitutions. It was 1879 when the Constitution was being written for the state of California that it began, "We the people of the state of California are grateful to Almighty God for our freedom." And it was in 1901 in Alabama when they were writing their state constitution, they began by saying, "We the people of the state of Alabama invoke the favor and the guidance of Almighty God and do ordain and establish the following constitution." And so tonight, we feel much like President William McKinley, our 25th president, who declared in his 1897 inaugural address, "I assume the responsible duties as President of the United States, relying on the support of my countrymen and invoking the guidance of Almighty God." And so in this public city council meeting tonight, we invoke the wisdom and the guidance of Almighty God to eliminate the thought processes of each and to illuminate the thought processes of each of the council members. We have freely selected them to govern us, and we pray daily for them by name. So help each of them, our mayor, her council colleagues, and their support staff as they endeavor to make wise decisions. And since history teaches us that you transmit your blessings and your favors through headship, allow your favor to flow from City Hall and from these council chambers to every home in our community and to every citizen who resides in our city and to every guest who visits our city. Cause our beautiful city of Pismo Beach that borders the blue Pacific to become a better place to live and a better place to enjoy life. This invocation we pray in the personal name of our Savior and Lord. Amen. Will you please place your hand over your heart and join me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jones. We have several presentations this evening, and each one of the council will read from the proclamations, and I will go down to the podium and present those after they're read. So the first one will be read by Mayor Pro Tem Arlene.
And whereas Craig, as a team player, sets the standards, reaches those standards, and then raises the standards for himself and other team members. Whereas Craig demonstrates a friendly, professional manner in dealing with coworkers, residents, and visitors of Pismo Beach. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach that the city hereby recognizes Craig Thomas's dedicated efforts and commitment to the city and names him as Outstanding Public Works Employee of the Year 2005, dated the 7th day of February 2006, and signed by Mary Ann Reese.
Craig, it is my pleasure to present this to you. The job that you have is a very important one, and your fellow employees have recognized that and are very proud of the work that you do. So thank you very much. And would you like to say a few words?
Sure, okay. I would. Yeah, I would like to thank my fellow employees for the vote of confidence, and especially this current council and the former councils for sticking with the wastewater master plan. This new treatment plan is going to be a real boon for all the citizens and the tourists alike. And we're really looking forward to the day when it's all completed, landscapes in, that we can give you the grand tour. And that goes for the citizens, too. We would like to have public tours because a lot of people don't know what's involved. And it's very interesting. And you'll find out how interesting it is when you see how it operates. And I've told this in private to Dennis, but I'd like to do it publicly. I would like to thank Dennis for initiating that wastewater master plan. He took a lot of political heat over the years for it. And he's carried through and he's stuck with it. And he's been a real boon to this city. And I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Councilmember Natoli.
Proclamation. Outstanding Mid-Management Employee of the Year 2005, Deborah Garcia. Whereas, it is the intent of the Pismo Beach City Council to annually recognize and pay tribute to the exceptional performance of city employees through the Council's Employee of the Year program, and whereas Deborah Garcia has served the City of Pismo Beach since August 2003, and as Human Resources Officer since August 2005, and whereas she has demonstrated her outstanding interpersonal relation skills, her dependability, and her integrity in handling the many sensitive issues that arise as integral parts of her responsibilities. And whereas Deborah has demonstrated exceptional dedication, skills, and professionalism in fulfilling both her basic responsibilities and numerous additional assigned responsibilities, and in helping out on still other urgent projects, all in a timely, cheerful, and highly professional manner. And whereas the nominations from peers and others that Deborah has received are testimony to the respect and admiration Deborah has earned from her fellow employees for her performance and professionalism on the job. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach hereby applauds and recognizes Deborah Garcia as the City of Pismo Beach's Outstanding Mid-Management Employee of the Year 2005, dated the 7th day of February 2006, signed by Mayor Reese.
Deborah, it's my pleasure to present this to you as our newest mid-manager, and right off the bat, your fellow employees recognized the talent and the contribution that you've made to the City of Pismo Beach. We're very proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Would you like to say a few words?
Like to say it's a joy to work here. And I appreciate everyone who's been a mentor to me as I've learned so much working here at the city the last couple years. And I really appreciate this honor. Thank you.
Councilmember Rabinow.
You know, I'd like to personally endorse this a proclamation, as well as I'm certain every other member of the City Council. The grand jury and what they do within our community, our county of San Luis Obispo, is invaluable. And those of you that may have some extra time, I'd like you to pay particular attention to this proclamation and maybe donate some of your very precious time to that. Proclamation declaring February 2006 is Grand Jury Awareness Month. Whereas the civil grand jury is made up of to provide independent oversight into the efficiency, effectiveness, honesty, and impartiality of government. And whereas the grand jury in a large measure relies upon public awareness and responsiveness of the public to its public reports which detail its findings and recommendations. And whereas it is believed that public awareness and responsiveness of the grand jury's function and purpose can be furthered by government declarations of awareness. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the City of Pismo Beach does hereby proclaim February 2006 to be Grand Jury Awareness Month. In order for all citizens to become better acquainted with the purposes of the grand jury, to give attention to the grand jury's public reports, and to encourage public participation in the grand jury process. Dated this 7th day of February 2006, signed by Mary Ann Reese.
Mr. McClure, as mayor of Pismo Beach, it is my pleasure to present this to you and bring attention to the important work that the grand jury does, and hope that it'll bring attention to the grand jury, and hope that people of this community will volunteer for this important job. My pleasure to present this to you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for this article. Maybe you'll want to bring attention to the public some of the things that are in it.
I distributed it here.
Oh, you did. Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, and members of the grand jury of the City Council, I'm pleased to be here as one of the 19 members of the current grand jury of San Luis Obispo County. We have been heavily at work since last July, and are in about the mid-year of our work, and we are dealing with many interesting aspects in the county. I distributed a article which was very inclusive about the grand jury, and I also gave some to the members of the audience here today, the citizens. And it says a lot more than I could ever tell you about the grand jury work. I can tell you that it is a very interesting experience. I would recommend it for anyone, and you would find it that it's very enriching in your own life to meet so many people and to deal with so many things. In the end, it becomes part of you, and it becomes part of your knowledge of government and the whole legal system and how everything works together. I have a colleague here with me tonight, Robert Myers. He's a past member of the grand jury and is also a member of the Grand Jury Association, which you can join after you go off jury work. And I'd like to ask him to say a couple of words, too. And thank you very much. I'll see you tomorrow morning that this gets to the jury.
Thank you. Well, Val told you what I was basically going to say. I am a member of the former Grand Jurors Association. It's an association that is formed up to allow the grand jurors to continue the good work by joining up and then supporting the grand jury, the local grand jury, with a lot of the things that we do to support their activities. We do training programs for the incoming grand jury, orientation programs for the grand jury. We're trying to now do some follow-up work on the old reports so that old reports don't get lost. And also, we're a member of the state chapter, which actually supports grand jury concept throughout the state of California, and lobbying efforts and education efforts, and they do a real great training process that lasts for a number of days for the incoming grand jurors. So there is life after death if you want to become a grand juror, and that's why I'm here, basically, to try to tell the audience and the members here that It's a worthy concept. It's a worthy job. And there are needs for grand jurors locally. Our applicants are getting a little lower than we like to have. The officers at the court are actively trying to get more people to come in and apply. The application date is open until, I got it written down here so I won't forget, but I did forget anyway, towards the end of April. So if there's still plenty of time to apply, you can get applications by going on to the grand jury website, which is the county website, or calling to the jury committee, commissioner. So if anyone in the audience has an interest in being a grand juror, you please apply. The requirements aren't great. You just have to be 18 years old, be a citizen, be reasonably smart. I don't know if that's a bad way to use, but that's, you got to have C here and I, and to be a good moral character. And of course, everybody in this room is.
It was a great experience. I learned a lot, and we have this wonderful proclamation tonight to present to Andrea Seastrand. Whereas space enterprise is paramount to the state's economic prosperity in that it contributes more than $25 billion each year, an amount representing 23% of the world's aerospace market. Space Enterprise has developed end-to-end space capabilities within the state of California that are unique in the nation to design, develop, and manufacture both launch vehicles and satellites, as well as collect, interpret, and utilize data from space. The launch vehicles and satellites produced within the state of California contribute significantly to the defense of this nation and monitor the Earth's environment. Vandenberg Air Force Base is an installation of about 99,000 acres on the central coast of California that serves as the nation's premier and first polar launch site and is home to 7 launch complexes and a commercial spaceport. Vandenberg Air Force Base is the headquarters of the 14th Air Force, which is responsible for all of the Air Force's space programs that support Air Force Space Command, including spacelift for both the eastern and western ranges and an on-orbit space operations worldwide. Vandenberg Air Force Base is home of the 30th Space Wing, which conducts space and missile launches and operations in the western range. Vandenberg Air Force Base is the home of the portion of NASA's Kennedy Space Center, which provides satellites that monitor the Earth's environment. Vandenberg Air Force Base is one of only 2 national sites for launch of the Involved Expandable Launch Vehicle. Vandenberg Air Force Base contributes about $1 billion annually to this state's economy. Vandenberg Air Force Base is rich in Chumash Indian history, once supporting a civilization that spread throughout the central coast. Air Force Base is rich and included almost 18,000 people whose mythology includes rich references to the sky and the stars. Vandenberg Air Force Base is the former home of the Santa Ynez Band of Chumash Indians, who according to tribal records lived on that land for more than 13,000 years. Vandenberg Air Force Base and the launch activities that take place in it provide the surrounding communities with a natural tourist opportunity that has not yet been tapped. And the proposed California Space Center at Vandenberg Air Force Base could motivate students to study math, science, and engineering now, then. Be it resolved that the City of Pismo Beach does hereby express its unanimous and dedicated support for the California Space Authority's concept for a multi-purpose California Space Center to be located on 66 acres along State Highway 1 outside the main gate of Vandenberg Air Force Base. The goals are envisioned to benefit the entire Central Coast via the following 5 elements: space-related visitor attractions, a launch viewing site, space education multi-purpose area, conference center, mission support complex, and be it further resolved that the envisioned California Space Center will highlight the past, present, and future of Vandenberg Air Force Base, including key space contributions of the U.S. Air Force, NASA, and the National Reconnaissance Office, did I say that right? Yeah. As well as Vandenberg-based space enterprise contractors and the base's stewardship of the local environment, And be it further resolved that the Envision California Space Center will celebrate the role of the Santa Ynez Band of Chumash Indians, showcasing their history in the area and interpreting the tribe's culture, including artifacts found and the sacred sites located on the Vandenberg Air Force Base. And be it further resolved that the City of Pismo Beach supports efforts to identify state and federal seed dollars to make possible the construction of the envisioned California Space Center, dated the 7th day of February, 2006, Mary Ann Reese, Mayor.
This is my pleasure to present this to you with our show of support to this new Space Center, and we wish you well, and we know that it will help our community also, so it's my pleasure to do this.
Thank you. Well, that was a truly a great resolution. You captured everything that in that short longer resolution, but it says it well. I just would like to share with you that we envision this happening over the years. This is going to cost us perhaps $80 to $100 million to build out. And so we realize that we're going to prioritize a viewing site, the future for our amphitheater, so people can view the launches there, and also have buses, hopefully, into Vandenberg to have tours. We believe that this will be very good for the Central Coast and for the state of California in general, for tourism, the economy, and more importantly, the education of our students. I think you all realize that we have a crisis about in the board of directors has just welcomed Mike Manchuk from the Economic Vitality Corporation, and I know that you're all working with him, so in a way, all of your presence will be on our board of directors. So thank you for that. We're looking for bigger and better things from the aerospace community, especially the space side of it, on the central coast of California. I would like to definitely introduce a colleague of mine from the California Space Authority, Elizabeth Burkhead, and she is a resident of Pismo Beach. I'm just a resident across the street at Grover Beach. So we live here, we love our area, and we hope that we can bring and make it a better place, not only for our children to learn all the things there are about space, but also to bring in the tourists to see and share with them what we have here, not only at Vandenberg Air Force Base, but the entire Central Coast. So thank you. Thank you for your support and coming to our conference. We really do appreciate it. On one note is there will be an economic impact report that's being done by, I believe, UC Santa Barbara, and it's in its final stages. And I think you're going to be surprised about that economic impact that Vandenberg has, not only on the state of California, but here on the Central Coast, and the numbers of people that reside here in the south part of this county and your city. So when we have that final report, we will definitely share it with you. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay, and last but not least, would Dan Turner please come up here? As you're all aware, Dan Turner has served as our fire chief since 2001. And so we're going to wish him a bon voyage. Dan Turner, fire chief, October 2001 January 2006. Your extraordinary dedication and service to the City of Pismo Beach are to be commended. Your vision and expertise as a professional firefighter has ensured the safety of the citizens and businesses of Pismo Beach. Your leadership and direction has moved the city forward into the 21st century. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is you. Best wishes on your retirement, dated February 7th, 2006. Congratulations. Enjoy your retirement.
Thank you.
Here you are. Would you like to say a few words?
Sure.
You
had.
Thank you, Mayor Reese, members of the council, and members of the public. It's genuinely been an honor to serve the citizens of Pismo Beach for the last 4 years. I've learned a tremendous amount. I think we've been able to make some tremendous progress here, and I'm very proud of that. I think you guys have done a good service for the citizens of Pismo Beach, And I congratulate you on your latest efforts on moving toward further examination of consolidation. I think there's some good opportunities there for the future for all the South County. I will say one thing, though, in listening the other night at the conference, I had my January cold, so I was very sick that night, so I couldn't speak. But I heard a comment made that was a little bothersome, and I just thought I'd set the record straight. And that was that there's been 9 years of study and no results. I think that's wrong. I think you should all congratulate yourself, and the whole South County should congratulate themselves on the improvements that have been made over the last 5 years. In 2001, there was a conference very similar to the one that was the other night, a roundtable of the four communities in the South County about consolidating fire services. I attended that conference as an outsider, as a facilitator, much in the manner that Mr. Moss did the other night. You've come a long way, baby, as the old saying goes. Since that time, the city of Pismo Beach consolidated with County Fire. City of Arroyo Grande and the city of Arroyo Grande hired more firefighters. The city of Grover Beach put on full-time firefighters. Oceano put on full-time firefighters. We jointly share truck companies now. We have the best automatic mutual aid agreement in the county of San Luis Obispo here. A lot of things have happened, a lot of very positive things. So be sure you don't forget to congratulate yourselves on the good work that's been achieved over the last few years as you look forward to the future and opportunities that lie ahead. So congratulations to you. Congratulations to citizens. Thank you for the honor of being able to serve you. And I'm going to get the honor to be able to serve my wife now for reintroduce myself to her. So thank you very much.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is public comment period.
Working group committee to pursue the other opportunities that exist in this field. I really think it's going to be a wonderful thing for our part of the county. Carl Sandburg was a well-known poet, writer. He said, "Life is like an onion. You peel it off one layer at a time, and sometimes you weep." Well, right now I'm weeping because of an action you took here just less than an hour ago. I'm not going to elaborate on that because I think you're going to announce it, Madam Mayor, or somebody is. But I'm very, very concerned that you have selected a person who is an unknown quantity instead of keeping a person who has given us two very productive years as a planning commissioner. That is a fine young man. And they have worked well together, those five. Sure, they were all men, but they knew how to work together for the benefit of our city. Now, you selected a woman who has all kinds of wonderful credentials, and she appeared to me to be an articulate, bright, and knowledgeable person. I hope it all turns out well for all of us. The fingers are crossed. Close with another quote. "Labor to keep alive in your breast that little spark of celestial fire we call conscience." George Washington. Thank you.
Thank you. Tom Martin.
My name is Tom Martin. I'm here from the garbage company, and I just wanted to remind everybody that the new SBC phone books are out. And if you turn to page 564 in the yellow page, there's a little cardboard foldout. And behind that is everything you'd want to know about recycling and composting programs.
Good.
So if you have any questions at all, look there first. If they don't get you an answer, you can call the office at 489-4246. And they'll be able to help you. Secondly, the garbage company has finally moved into the 21st century, and you can now pay your bills online at www.wasteconnectionswithans.com. And I went on and I paid my mother-in-law's bill, and so if I can do it, anybody can do it, because I'm not computer literate. You just have to have a copy of your bill in front of you because you need your account number off of there to get it done. But it makes life a lot easier and avoid writing checks and all that other good stuff. And finally, cleanup week this spring is April 10th through the 14th, and you don't have to remember those dates because it's right before your income tax return is due, and I know you all remember that date more than anything else.
Thank you, Tom. That's really good information, and it's good to have it in the phone book.
Not a problem.
Thank you very much. I have a card from Keith Swanson.
Good afternoon. Keith Swanson. I'm from Los Osos. I apologize for bringing our wastewater to your community, but I think Dr. Jones' invocation kind of summarizes or the reason why I'm here is that I'm sure you're all familiar with the goings-on in Los Osos. There was a recall. The community spoke out against the project in the middle of town. Since then, the board of directors, the LOCSD, has had nothing but one thing after another against with the state. And currently there's a dissolution process going on where they're gathering signatures to dissolve the CSD. It is so important for us to have local government. And I know that Grover Beach last night drafted a letter that's going to be sent to the Board of Supervisors. Their concern was the financial ramifications of the project if it was going to go back to the county, how that's going to work out. I know that the county's expressed their disinterest in taking over the project. And why I'm here is to encourage this council, the city, to draft a letter similar to the city of Grover Beach to encourage that Los Osos take care of their own, solve their own problems, not to dissolve the CSD. It's important to have local government. Dan Turner was instrumental with community support to, one, discourage a tripling of our top fire tax, then bringing in CDF and actually lowering our fire tax for our community. And we had not been able to do that without local government. So I encourage you to do this. It's unfortunate that the three directors that were recalled are behind the dissolution effort. It's like it's okay if you can have government if it's their way, but if it's the other way. I know there's a lot of problems, but the CSD is working very, very hard. They're having a meeting every week since they've been elected. So I encourage you, if there's anything that you can do to assist, write a letter to LAFCO, because they're the overseeing party as a, concerning dissolution, and also the Board of Supervisors, just letting Los Osos take care of their, in a kind way, wastewater. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to?
This time, for whatever reason, it was all done together. And I'm curious why that was the case. It seemed like we lost a neutral party. Everyone acknowledges that the city of Arroyo Grande has two wells and can pump water out of the same water source as the Los Robles del Mar project. But that night, no one asked a single question about the Mankins Ranch and what would happen if they pumped more water because they planted more trees. Is it the same water source? Mankins thinks it is. I have one more item, or two more items. What would happen if the approved, 312 homes were approved in the Los Robles del Mar project by the city council? What would happen if many of those homes decided to add secondary units? Instead of having 312 homes and needing 150-acre water feet, there is a possibility that there would be way more homes and they would need more acre feet. And I want to know if that possibility was considered when the 150 square acre feet was calculated. And one other item. In the original agreement, the developer said he would provide $600,000 for any water-related items. Now, at the last meeting, it seemed like instead of it being $600,000, it was $2.3 million that the developer was willing to pitch in for water-related. To me, that introduces all kinds of other questions. And the way it ended was the developer needed to provide 150 square acre feet of water. The water study said he would provide 155 acre feet. That's not a lot of insurance. And my last thing that I'd like to say is, and this is for the citizens, LAFCO might actually deal with this item on March 16th, and that is this March 16th. So if you're concerned, you need to do something about it and be prepared for March 16th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to an item that's not on the agenda?
I'm Rick Turton. Tonight I'm going to speak on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce. Recently we had our annual Chamber Board Retreat where we discussed various issues that are pertinent to the Chamber and to the business community at large. It was very evident what was most on our mind, and that was parking. And it came up very clear that we have one project that's on our radar screen right now. What we are humbly requesting that the council bring this as a top priority project as far as the due diligence to study this. The last time I think it was talked about in public was in probably late October. Some of us know where we're at with this project because we have an opportunity to talk to Randy. But the public at large who consider this project, you know, however they come down on this project, and that's obviously the project is underground public parking at the Pier parking lot end of the Benson project. And we have a very time-critical window. And what's really makes a few of us nervous is we just have to think back a month and how time-critical CDF got on us. Now, this one, if we don't act, whether we're going to go for it or not go for it, we're going to lose it. You know, it's just a one-shot opportunity, and it doesn't preclude any other parking solutions around town. And we all think that, you know, parking is obviously, you know, the leader in our economic vitality in the future. More parking, more people, more taxes, more money, you know, everything. And what we would like you to do is basically say that this is a top priority because of the time critical and the due diligence. Maybe encourage Randy at every meeting or every other meeting to give us a report of where we're at on this. Let's not let this drop off the radar screen. It's really way too critical, and we, you know, Benson's going to build sooner or later, so we got a declining open window here that we're going to walk through. So that's what we'd like you to hopefully consider and do, and maybe get Randy to tell us where we're at right now because it's some interesting information. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe the city manager could make that part of his report. And I think we are going to have a report on it in the next meeting or two. Okay.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, members of council. Twofold. I'm here, for one, on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce. I would like to invite everybody to the Breakfast with the Mayor. And that's on February 14th at 8 o'clock in the morning at the Cliffs Resort. The charge is $10 for breakfast, and we all get to sit around and gish with the mayor. I'd also like to follow up on Rick's comment, is that currently the Chamber of Commerce has a survey on surveymonkey.com regarding some input from our citizens of Pismo Beach, and don't laugh at surveymonkey.com, but I thought it was pretty comical. Anyway, and we have five questions that we're asking everybody that goes to the website. It's actually a great tool for what you get for $20 a month, and it gives you a tracking record of the number of people that have.
Yes, I do. I had the pleasure of co-hosting a trip from the second and third grade students from San Miguel. I want to get the name of the school, Lillian Larson School. 2 years in a row now, they had recognized the Western Monarch Butterfly Day, which falls on February the 5th. So both years, they did a fund drive in order to earn enough money for gasoline and the hiring of a bus to come down to our butterfly orchard to enjoy the knowledge that they gained from the docents and also Dr. Leong from Cal Poly. And we were able to greet them. Our city was represented by Susan Brazil and myself. And we were able to intermingle with the children. And they have quite a program going up there in San Miguel. They actually work with the butterflies from start to finish, where they get these butterflies that lay their eggs under the leaves of milkweed pod plants. And they watch the development of these butterfly cocoons, and et cetera, until the butterflies are actually hatched and they start to do their trek, flying to different parts of the world. And it's quite an educational site. And these children were very, very well behaved, and you could ask them questions, and they were able to respond very, very as though they really knew what was going on with the butterfly, the Western monarch butterfly, and the importance of preserving those Western monarch butterflies, and the importance of Western Monarch Butterfly Day, which was declared by then-Senator McPherson 2 years ago. And it's a state holiday now. And I feel that the city of Pismo Beach and Grover Beach should perhaps join forces and try to make that a big event and try to have a festival, per se, and perhaps have some form of pageant so that we can draw in children, maybe name a Miss and Little Miss Monarch, a Little Mr. Monarch in that pageant. And that brings in all the relatives, the parents, the grandparents, the uncles and aunts and cousins, etc., to our city. So I think that that is a one thing that we have to look at for the month of February, because that's a slow month as far as tourism goes in our city. And this would really aid. And the children come up with a banner, which they presented me, and it says, "To Mr. Rudy Natoli from the second and third grade classes at Lillian Larson School, thank you for working so hard for the Monarchs and for the children. Together we will make a difference. Second annual California Western Monarch Day 2006. And they come up with the design for this flag. So I thought that was very unique, and I really thank them for it. And we'll probably see them here again next year and the year after that, because they're making this great project. Dr. Leong was there from Cal Poly, and he also assisted with the children. So it was quite an event, and my heart was so heartfelt in seeing these children. So I wanted to make that report to the council and to the public.
Thank you for being there, Rudy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me give you her name. The teacher's name was Peggy Metzger. She's been working with the Western Monarch Butterflies for probably around 15 years, if I'm not mistaken. And she's really dedicated to this, and with the help of Sheila Boone, who initiated the Western Monarch Butterfly Day resolution that was sent to Senator McPherson and eventually passed 100% by the state government. And so I applaud her, too. So thank you.
Thank you, Rudy. Councilmember Higginbotham, do you have anything?
Thank you. In today's business section of the paper, we had a local hotel that was named a gem. And as I was reading this, and there's it's called the TripAdvisor, and there were only two hotels chosen in the entire state to get this award. And so I wanted to say congratulations to the Contiki Inn, because
coming through the year quite greatly. They do still have, however, a need for copying paper and those types of things. So again, those of you, and there have been many donations in the past, that would like to support our youth and their certainly ability to learn through some of the educational tools that are made available there. And if it's you have somebody at Judkins, please, a case of paper or a ream of paper or whatever. It really makes a difference in the children's lives. The only other thing I'd like to know is I'd really like to know if this monkey.com has data yet. I mean, is there data that has been collected on there that the public might need to be aware of or want to be aware of? And the primary reason that I ask that is that I appreciate Tony so much getting up there and talking about that. Or maybe it was, I don't know, I'm getting you guys confused anymore. But the public, I want the public to be able to dial up that website and give your opinion of it. I haven't met a resident yet in Pismo Beach that wants that parking down there. And I think that this needs to be a collective decision because of its importance within our community. So once again, I would just like to, it's surveymonkey.com. Okay, or pismochamber.com. Okay, but pismochamber.com. But please go on there and cast your opinions. You know, the chamber needs to have this information. They're putting a lot of time and energy into this. Thank you very much.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem.
Well, firstly, when we were reading the proclamations this evening for the Outstanding Public Works Employee of the Year, Craig Thomas, he coincidentally is on the front of the in a photo on the front of the Clam Chronicle with Stu Stewart. And also, it's a great article about the wastewater treatment facility upgrade and expansion. So if you don't have that, please read it. Congratulations again. And then also, if you have gone down to Addy Street and seen what the new trash cans have been painted sand color, and I mean, they are actually painted sand color. And when I drove down there, I thought, well, this is so ideal because they're obscure unless you're looking for one. And then the Parks Division has wisely painted a gold band right at the top, so that's really all you see. So if you're looking for a trash can, they're very obvious. So that was a great job. Thank you so much. And also, I wanted to congratulate Henry Myers on his award. It was wonderful. It was a great article. And that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, I just have a couple of things. The mayors serve on what they call the Mayor's Selection Committee, and we do make appointments in the region of different committees and commissions. And one of the things, one of the openings that's now available, and we just got a notice from the governor, that there will be an opening on the Coastal Commission. And this will be an opening for an elected official. And this is how it reads, and I just wanted you to be aware of it. So if any of you are interested or you know of someone that you feel would do a good job on the Coastal Commission who is an elected official, please make sure that we know it before February 24th. It says, as you know, a vacancy exists on the California Coastal Commission for a representative from the South Central Coast region. Let me cut out some of this. The governor has directed me to request the county city selection committees of San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura counties to nominate at least one board supervisor and at least one city council member for appointment to this position. So the mayors will be, as I said, working on this or making that appointment on. Yeah, it is paid.
It is a paid position.
Yeah. We'll be working on this on February 24th. And so you need to submit a resume of your qualifications and I think actually go to that meeting. But if you have an interest, let me know. So that's one thing. And then tomorrow I have a SLOCOG meeting. And there is one issue on that agenda that I wanted to discuss with you. The city, and I think you saw it in the newspaper this morning, the city of Atascadero, there is a $24 million project that SLOCOG has submitted funding for, and that's the 41101 project. There is a shortfall of money for their beautification project, and they're wanting SLOCOG to fund that. And so far, SLOCOG has said, you know, you have to fund 80% at Las Tablas 101 local funding. There was a local funding contributed on that one. Main Street 101, there was local funding there. So,
Madam Mayor, is SLOCOG... Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was on SLOCOG, as I recall, any time there was any issues for us to try to gather monies for our boardwalks or any of our projects in our city, we were always supported by Atascadero. They've always supported us. So I can't see us not coming, you know, coming forward with some support for them.
Okay, but SLCOG is now contributing $24 million toward this project. This portion of it is beautification.
Mm-hmm. When it I know what they're going to do with the fancy center dividers and et cetera, you know, the, which is really good. If you see what they did up at the pass, how nice they made that look. But
local contribution was made an issue of when we talked about the Price Street extension.
I'll have to pass on that because they always supported us. That's all I can recall.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem, you said you had a comment.
Well, I was just wondered if SLCOG takes into consideration Atascadero's budget and what they might be able to provide. If it's, is it just that one amount, or could they do a lesser amount? Could you ask Atascadero to do a lesser amount? Because I would support giving, you know, I would be in support of SLCOG giving a certain amount if Atascadero could at least give a small portion of it, of the additional.
You know, I might ask Dennis to give some input because TTAC, he's a member of TTAC, the technical committee, and they did discuss this.
The technical committee discussed this item at last week's meeting. The technical committee is composed of people at my position with the other agencies. Yeah. And technical committee's final conclusion and consensus on this was if bids come in favorable and the aesthetic features of the project can be included in that $24 million that's already budgeted, then the technical committee would have no objection to going ahead and constructing it. However, if additional money is needed, the $513,000, then the technical committee felt that due to pressing needs for other transportation projects in the county and a matter of equity to the various other jurisdictions in the county, and the fact that Atascadero was not contributing any local money, that that was a fair proposal as SLCOG is currently recommending.
I'm going to interrupt here. The city attorney has cautioned me that this is getting close to being an agenda item. And since this is an item on our agenda for tomorrow, that I could add it to the agenda if you wouldn't mind at the end of the agenda.
Okay.
I'd be very much
in favor of that.
Well, I'd be in favor of that, too, but I'd rather continue the discussion right now. We're almost to the end of it.
In that instance, Madam Mayor, what I would suggest that you do is you make the findings. You'll need a two-thirds vote that there's need to take action immediately. I think you've made that clear, that the need for action came to the attention of the City Council after the agenda was posted. And obviously, if you get the two-thirds vote, then we just add it to the agenda wherever you want to add it. If you want to add it right now and finish it off, then we've complied with the Brown Act formalities of adding it to the agenda, and you can continue discussing it.
Well, I just think it's kind of unfair to do it at this point, but we're halfway into the agenda. Into it, I guess we could just continue it right now.
Yeah, only Shelley and I haven't spoken. So
okay. I'm not sure that you were done. Done, Madam Mayor.
You know, I will let them go ahead, and then I'll express what I wanted to after. Mr. Delzite finished?
Okay, would you finish then?
Madam Mayor.
We'll continue with this.
Did you want to take action to add it to the agenda?
Okay.
Yes.
May we have a vote?
Yes.
All those in favor?
Yes. Yeah, aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed?
We were looking for a motion and a second. Shall we deem that the mayor moved it since it was the mayor's item?
Sorry.
And Councilmember Ravenault.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? None. Okay.
Well, Madam Mayor, if I may, there's a fundamental problem with the
demand. What will happen is that this funding will be taken away from another project. And it could be one of ours.
I mean, it could be, but...
Could be... Could be our boardwalk.
It could be, but I think that Rudy really hit the nail on the head. With these diminishing funds, I think that we, if we keep looking at ourselves as islands, that's how we're going to operate. Mm-hmm. But if we start looking at ourselves as a community, then it's got to be give and take. We can't expect it all. I mean, you know, people look at me and giggle sometimes, and they say, "You've got $2 million in reserves, and you're in the black and all that." Well, I wear that as a badge of honor. But that doesn't mean, because we're fiscally responsible and because our city council does an awfully good job at what we do to put us in that position, that we should be penalized because of it, like taking money away from us like has been suggested in the past. No, so no, we're a community. We're not islands.
I understand, but you know, when these projects are lined up, and we're one of them that's lined up mm-hmm. for the boardwalk, I mean, it's very possible that it could happen, that you know, our money could be taken away from us. So this is a concern I have, and these projects are coming in, they're overrunning because everything is more expensive than originally projected. So this is a concern. So what they've said is that if you can find some way to cut back on this project, or if you can come in under, then, you know.
Which is what Dennis just said. So, and that would be ideal. Mm-hmm. That would certainly be ideal.
So, I mean, I'm just trying to make arguments that you know, my concern is that someone else's project may suffer. All these other projects, there has been some local funding. And so in this instance, you're saying this community does not have to contribute.
No. I may have said that wrong. What I'm looking at is what Mayor Pro Tem said, that is it based upon budget, or is this just a hard percentage? 8%, you have got to be matching funds or whatever it is. And if it's not
percentage.
If it's not a hard fixed percentage, then maybe that's what I was trying to say, because we do such a good job that and Atascadero may not have it. So you need to take a look at their general fund, their expenditures, their safety.
I don't think that enters into it at all. I think they looked at the project costs, then it came in over what the project was projected. Am I quoting this right? You better.
That's pretty accurate. The budget needs another $513,000 in order to include the aesthetic features of the project. And SLOCOG staff is recommending against adding another $513,000 to the project budget.
Out of their budget. SLOCOG's budget.
Right, which is basically all of the jurisdictions share that money.
It's everyone's budget.
Right.
Yeah,
They said if, and this is the technical committee, however, if the bids come in favorable and there's enough money in the budget to include those aesthetic improvements, then go ahead and build them. Just don't add $513,000 to the budget to include those aesthetic features.
That's the answer right there. Mm-hmm. That's the answer right there. T-tax recommendation.
And, and that's really where I was coming from, but mm-hmm. I was looking for some input mm-hmm. because I know the council wants to have input into to what I represent at the meeting.
And I thank you for that.
Okay. So, and I really was supportive of T-tax recommendation, but I also wanted to throw it out there for your input.
Good.
So you're feeling that you agree with T-TAC?
Yeah, T-TAC recommendation then. Which is a compilation, really, of everything that we've said up here. Mm-hmm. So.
So do I hear a motion to that effect?
I didn't get a chance to speak.
Sorry.
That's okay. I concur with Mayor Pro Tem. I think that if they don't go with T-TAC, if I'm getting that acronym correctly, I think the city should be asked to contribute something, maybe not the whole amount, especially since it's aesthetics. It's not necessarily the safety, the design, but I do think they should be asked to contribute something or look for other funding sources because it is beautification if they don't go with that other recommendation.
Okay.
So that way I think we're still being supportive, but mm-hmm. not cutting them off completely.
That's right.
Right. Well, what I'd like to do then is make a motion.
Excuse me. Oh. That way it does show we're being supportive somewhat.
Right.
That's the
great
whole idea.
Yeah. I'd like to make a motion that we accept TTAC's recommendation and pass that on to SLOCOG at tomorrow's meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second.
Under discussion, I don't think that was exactly where Councilmember
Higginbotham
and myself looked
in the budget.
Now, does that seem like it's realistic, though?
Well, costs have been going up rapidly.
That's right. So it doesn't seem realistic.
However, the budgets are escalated to hopefully include inflation. But, you know, the construction industry is very difficult to predict right now. So I don't know that I could be very certain one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. So,
but it was a compromise approach by the technical committee, basically, to recognize the desirability of including the aesthetic improvements, mm-hmm. but not adding additional money into it mm-hmm. Out of all of the other jurisdictions' projects.
Madam Mayor, what if we made the suggestion of matching whatever the city of Atascadero could contribute, then to ask SLOCOG to contribute?
That's a nice idea to consider.
That shortfall. And if they can't contribute anything, then you don't do that part of the project.
Well, Madam Mayor, let me tell you what's wrong with both of those proposals, is that when do you suppose this is going to be constructed? Over the next
five years
or whatever it is, it's too premature to try to figure out nickels and dimes when you got a $24 million project up there. Believe me, when the bids come in and when the bids are let and the bids come in, you're going to find out where you are. That's when you need to make the decision.
But they're asking them to make it tomorrow.
No, I think it's not a decision on the dollars. It's a decision on the conceptual part of it. And the conceptual part, TTAC came up with the right answer. So
I feel that they did, too. But
yeah.
Let me see when it's in the schedule here. Three.
Well, we know it's going to take years and years. It's like our Price Street extension. It was going to take 7 years.
But our mayor is asking to be made to make a decision tomorrow.
Yeah, to endorse TTAC is the mm-hmm. correct decision to make. Let me see my badge is crooked there.
You could probably find this faster than I can.
When is the schedule
of
this particular one?
The hold by 6 o'clock.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm
going to ask him to look at that schedule because he can find it faster than I can. I was thinking that it was in the 2007 schedule, but I'm. Well, I guess we could have public comment on this. Yeah, there we go. I guess while we're doing this, we could have public comment. Then we have one card. Art Anthony?
No, for something else.
Oh, later on. I thought you were wanting to speak on this. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to this item that was added under the agenda? Well, now I don't feel bad because he's having a hard time finding it, too. It's really somewhat of a policy question, they're saying pertinent funding policies adopted in November 2005 require significant local financial investments for project development phases.
Sounds like you have 3 votes anyway.
This has taken way too long for Atascadero's problem. I mean, let's take a vote and see if we want to, in fact, endorse TTAC, and if not, then
we're all one community.
Okay. The information in the tables shows that the project is scheduled, the construction year is fiscal year 09-10.
Oh, 09-10.
Yes.
Way down.
Okay, then.
Then you can just tell them we support them. By then, okay. We won't be on the council.
Okay, so, all right, so are we finished with our discussion? And move forward with the vote. Okay, let's take a vote.
Well, I made the motion to support
TCAS. There's a motion and a second.
TCAS recommendation.
Right.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you. That helps. And let's see. I didn't realize that. Does the clerk, under my comments, want to go ahead and give the results of the Planning Commission appointments?
Yes. Earlier today, council had
achievement.
She's so tired. We're all helping her.
Been here since 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Anyway, I think it's wonderful that they were chosen because they've consistently done really well throughout the year, and I think they deserve it. It was well deserved, and so congratulations. And with that, we'll take a 5-minute break.
Oh, good. I didn't even know where we're going to get to.
Okay, we're ready to go.
Can you see me waving? I'm waving to you. Okay. I'm waving to you right now. Hi, Ryan. I am. I'm waving at home. Tony Spinelli says hi. Would you like the mayor to, Mayor Pro Tem, could you wave to my son?
Hi.
They're all waving to you.
Hi.
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 Bye. Thank you for riding the Hummer.
I told him I was.
What have we got? Who we got there? It wasn't us anyway that voted. Right. We're back in session, and we'll go directly to public hearing since we're very late for that, and that's item 5A.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 5A is a public hearing. It's the first reading of an ordinance which would prohibit medical marijuana dispensaries in the city of Pismo Beach. And I'd like to ask Randy Bloom to go ahead and introduce the staff report. Randy.
Thank you. Tonight you have a public hearing on medical marijuana dispensaries only. It pertains to the dispensaries. The proposed ordinance that is in front of you, and it's a public hearing tonight, is essentially following the federal law in that that it is a prohibited use within the city limits. The ordinance has a basic definition of a dispensary. It has a section that basically says the following uses shall not be allowed in any zone, and no condition use permit shall be issued permitting such use. And it has underneath it medical marijuana dispensaries. I think what it basically boils down to is the Planning Commission voted 5-0 to support this ordinance. And I think reading one of the findings about summarizes it, and I'll state that. Whereas the City Council recognizes the concept of the supremacy of federal law and that the use and possession of marijuana for any reason is prohibited by federal law, notwithstanding the passage of the Compassionate Use Act of 1996 of the state. And basically the proposed ordinance would prohibit that type of dispensary within the city limits. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, does the council have any questions?
Mm-mm. I know.
Okay, with that, I'll open this up to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item? Please.
Good evening, council members. My name is Isaac Forsman. I do not live in this city. I live in San Luis Obispo City. But I'm here in support of dispensaries of medical marijuana for the patients who need it. It's an alternative form of medication. I'm aware that it's legal in the state. And as far as I see, the governing goes state, county, city. And if the people of this state have spoken, I think it should be then permissible for people to obtain their medication. There are other counties within the state that do permit dispensaries within their city limits, and that makes it very difficult for people who need this for their medicine to travel either to the San Francisco area or down to the Los Angeles area to get their medication. It's doctor permitted. It's a prescription that's available for it. So I'm just curious as to why that would be denied for people to have their medicine.
I do not believe that I have the learned ability to say that marijuana is good or bad under a medical situation. But this is what's fundamentally wrong. We're a county of about 260,000 people. What's being asked is for each local jurisdiction, the seven cities within the county of San Luis Obispo and the county of San Luis Obispo itself, to each form individual conclusions on this. Again, the island concept. What I would do, what I would much rather do, is have the council endorse a letter that will be written to the County Board of Supervisors asking that they take the jurisdictional control of this and actually place it in a accessible part of the county to all that would partake. For all of us to have to make these individual decisions throughout the county, we're going to have conflicts, we're going to have people coming forward like this young man, and we'll disrupt that thought process because we don't all think alike. We're not a large enough jurisdiction, and I'm talking about the county as a whole, to be deciding on having eight different yeses or eight different noes. And I would be very supportive of the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach asking the County Board of Supervisors to take jurisdiction over this and make a recommendation to all city councils. Thank you. Well, that didn't go over too well.
Is there anyone else on the council that would like to speak on this item?
No. I don't think I'm knowledgeable enough on this issue.
But I incline to go along with what the Planning Commission came up with until we get some definition, as Bill has mentioned, through the county. And so I'm going to – I'll support what our Planning Commission came up with.
Is that a motion? Or?
Well, if everybody's through talking, I'll make the motion.
Does anyone else want to comment?
Well, I do. If everyone,
sure.
I just, when I was reading this yesterday, I was thinking this is a real tough decision to make.
That's right.
When you don't have the medical background for this, and you know, to bring it before councils, I almost think that a group of doctors should make this type of decision. However, you know, the trend of the other cities where I'm reading in the newspaper is they're going along with what their planning commission's recommended. And also, then I think about, like, my husband, who not that many years ago had to go to San Francisco for heart treatment. Of course, he has it here now. But, you know, a lot of people have to go out of the area for different types of treatment. Mm-hmm. So I don't see, you know, that would make that much difference if you had to travel for your treatment. Hmm. A lot of people have to for not just that type of treatment, for cancer treatment, for my husband's heart treatment, and so on and so forth. So I'm inclined to support the Planning Commission's recommendation at this time. But I have the greatest compassion for you.
Anyone else have any comment? Okay, I also would support the Planning Commission's recommendation, and I would agree with some of the comments that were made. This is it's one of those tough decisions, but I do feel that there are some conflicts in law here, and we are a small community in this county, so it's a tough situation. So, but I do agree with the Planning Commission's recommendation. And do we have I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
There's a motion and a second to
pass and print the ordinance as written.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve the ordinance. I did note that it seemed to be there's a repeat of one of the paragraphs. Maybe I'm not reading this right. Is paragraph 3 and paragraph 5 the same or not?
Which page are you on, Madam Mayor?
Page 2? Page 102?
It's not exactly the same.
It isn't?
No.
Yeah, you've got the Planning Commission in paragraph 3 in the City Council.
Okay. Now we'll go back to our consent agenda, and we've had a request. I'm sorry?
We've got another item. 6A.
Madam Mayor, we do have business item 6A, which would normally go before the pulled consent agenda items.
We haven't gone to the consent agenda at all.
Yeah, how?
She wants
how
to motion.
How did anything get pulled?
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to the consent agenda because we haven't done that at all. And so it's been requested that 4 G, H, and I be pulled. Does the council agree with that, that they be pulled? And if so, they'll be pulled, and I'll entertain a motion on the balance of the items.
I move for approval for the additional consent agenda.
I'll second.
So under discussion, who pulled these items?
It was requested from the audience.
Audience, okay. Okay. No problem.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve items 4A through 4F.
Okay, Councilmember Gonzalez, I'm sorry, Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G.
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli.
Yes.
Councilmember Rabinoff.
Yes.
And Mayor Reese.
Yes.
Passes 5-0.
Okay, so 4G through I will go to the end of the agenda. And next item is item 6.
Madam Mayor and Council, business item 6A is our quarterly report on the capital improvement program, both what's gone on in the last quarter and what we're looking forward to accomplishing in the next quarter. And I'd like to ask Dennis Delzite to go ahead and give the staff report along with Greg Ray.
The city has a very active capital improvement program, and what we are following is the City Council approved budget for our two-year budget, and also carryover projects from previous years. So Greg Ray, as he has in past quarters, has put together a PowerPoint presentation in order to give the council and the public an opportunity to get a quick overview of this list of capital improvements that are going on in Pismo Beach.
Okay.
Good evening, Mayor, Council Members, Mayor Pro Tem. This is a great opportunity for you to celebrate the changes in the capital improvement program since I spoke with you last a few months back. We've been moving pretty swiftly, and on the monitor behind you there is a PowerPoint presentation with some photos of some of the projects that we've progressed on or are progressing on. And if you have any questions during this brief presentation, you can go ahead and ask them, or if you want to wait to the end, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Okay, thank you.
So I believe there's 19 projects in all that we've been working on since the last quarterly update. And the first one and most obvious one, as you've seen in the papers, the wastewater treatment plant upgrade and expansion. The construction's 85, actually closer to probably 90% complete by now. It's on schedule, within budget. The new process is already online, and the complete project will include a pave out of the corporate yard, landscaping, and all that should be done by April. The next project.
Could I just ask about the ball field?
Yes.
Thank you. Are you going to open it back up again? Is that going to be done by April, too?
Oh, yes. Yes. The part of the contractor's requirement.
Can I ask? You're not going to get an answer.
I know. I can ask all I want.
Yes. Part of the contractor's requirement, overall requirements of the project, is to bring the ball field back into its prior condition. And so that will be part of what is needed for him to achieve 100% completion, and that is also part of the April completion date.
Oh, great.
Okay, the next project update, of course, the slurry seal project on Shell Beach Road and James Way. That project is complete. It was a great success. We used over 40,000 pounds of recycled tires in that project, so it was not only a great roadway
wonderful.
Rehabilitation
wow.
project, but a nice recycling project as well.
Wow.
The rubberized asphalt project should provide a considerably longer service life than a standard slurry seal, and as you've already felt, it does improve the ride quality.
Mm-hmm.
So the final benefit of that is it will remain black for a lot longer time, so the striping shows up much brighter, as you can see in the picture. The miscellaneous overlay, the Harborview waterline, if you've driven by there, you can see that the street is completely torn up. The waterline's already in and in service. There's three new fire hydrants, so they now have adequate fire protection on the street. They've got adequate pressure and flow from the water system, and now the remaining work is just to try to bring the street back up to grade and put in new paving. The contract amount was $305,000. We're right now, as expected, we have about $15,000 in contract change orders because it's a very old street and we ran into a lot of unknown things underground. But generally speaking, the project's going really well. It's ahead of schedule. Next project is the Pismo Oaks lift station. You don't see a picture of a project up there, but a picture of the plans. The project design is complete. We went through a brief discussion with a local hotel with regard to one of the sewer bridges and the potential of maybe putting a pedestrian bridge along part of that project. It doesn't look like we are going to be able to come to an agreement with them or receive adequate funding in time, so we're going to go ahead with the sewer line project, but we're not going to drop that idea. We'll keep pushing for that in the future. Let's see here. Chumash Park, the parking lot paving project. We initially attempted to add that to the slurry seal project. We weren't able to do that, so we are actually out to bid on it as a separate project. Construction will begin in March, actually near the end of March, and it'll be done about a month later. And bids will open this Thursday, so we're hoping for some good bids on that project. I release Park. The design plans are, I'm going to say 95% complete. It says 90% complete here, but we've done a final review on them, and they look like they're ready to go out to bid. So although we put the project on hold because we've had so many projects active right now, we didn't really want to get another one in construction. We'll go back out to bid on this and get it into construction probably by summer. So that's another great project to improve iRelease Park. Highland Park was completed a little while ago, but it was a fencing project
to replace the fence around the perimeter of the park, and that project is complete. The fence is beautiful, a really nice product. It's aluminum, powder-coated fence, should outlast the other fence by years. Might mention that that wasn't the only project that was completed on that park. There was also part of the total project what included some playground equipment that was installed a few years ago.
It looks very nice, too.
The police station emergency generator. Bit of a setback on that project. We purchased a generator surplus from the military, and it looked like it was going to be a great deal. It hadn't been used at all. Unfortunately, the San Luis Obispo Air Quality Management District is refusing to permit that generator, or that the motor, basically, that connect to the generator. So, well, that's what we're doing. We're out to bid now. Actually, bids will open this week also for a new engine to operate that emergency generator. Well, it's essentially a whole generator. It's kind of a package unit.
I was wondering if you could smog it.
Tried that. So we have some ideas of how we might be able to sell that to an agency that may, in fact, be able to use it, maybe in another state.
So. Okay, that's good.
The sewer trestle bridge project, I think we've made it aware to council and the public that these sewer trestles are in pretty bad shape. The design work is underway. I've actually seen the plans. They're about 80%. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been meeting with hotel owners that are affected. These bridges all run between hotels, basically, along the bluff. So we've been meeting with the ownership of the various hotels and getting this project ready to go out to bid. It says here we were hoping to go to bid in January. We had a few delays, but we'll expect to go to bid in actually about 2 weeks on that. So great, another great project. Nice to see it get done. The Wilmar Stair project. That we've received proposals from a design consultant, and I believe at the next council meeting, I think that's on the agenda for approval of a consultant contract to complete the design on that. The traffic signal override system. This project is basically done. This was a part of a larger project which included the traffic signal override system and the lighted crosswalks downtown on Price Street. Mm-hmm. So with the completion of the signal override system, that completes a grant project for some high-tech traffic type stuff in the city. The act is a separate project in the capital improvement program. We are going to be able to combine that into the wastewater treatment plant project, and that's being actually the design is being completed right now. And that work will be completed along the same timeline as the rest of the treatment plant, so it should be done by April. And you can see in the picture that it's definitely needed. Mm-hmm. Stratford Street cross gutter, very small project, but it was in the CIP. It was actually added into the CIP. As you can see, it was basically repairing and repaving an intersection, essentially, and that small project is done. There's a communication systems upgrade project that's been in the CIP for quite a while. Engineering department and the police department have been working together to get this thing moving. We have a design consultant on board. Council hasn't approved a contract with him yet. But the project's been moving. There are some delays that have resulted as a result of access issues on the Avila Beach side to try to get up to the site where the police department is proposing to put a repeater up on Ontario Ridge toward Avila Beach there. But the project is progressing. See, next project is the Ocean Boulevard storm drain project. This project's complete. City installed a large drain inlet to catch the majority of runoff coming down the surface streets in Shell Beach. That was done in an effort to stop the water from overtopping the bluff and eroding our park, which, as you know, that park is in danger of eroding away right to the edge of the roadway. It also included installing some larger 8-inch curbs instead of 6-inch curbs along the park to, again, keep the water in the street. And this project looks like it's been a real success this year with the rainy season. There's still a little bit of sandbagging that's going on where the project ended. We had just so much money to complete a portion of it, and where that project ended in the winter season, you'll still see some sandbags out there. And we'll bring that back for future project funding to go ahead and complete that. The Park Cypress Avenue Sewer Interceptor upgrade. You can't see much there, so I drew a red line down the middle of the street with an S on it. There's a sewer pipe under that street, brand new. It combined two existing small sewer pipes that carried the majority of sewage from this side of the city to the Addy Street lift station. The pipes were shallow, the grade was flat, and we were having constant problems with them backing up. And they were so shallow that it gave us virtually no time to react if there was a backup. They just come right out the manhole. So this pipe is larger, deeper, steeper, flows faster. It's a great project. It was completed, and it paved back the street, as you can see. And then the final project on the list is Promenade 4. It's in design. You can see, again, a picture of a plan here. That's an overhead view of what the promenade will look like when it's constructed. Starts at the Pier Plaza and ends at what will be a new cul-de-sac on Main Street, also an improvement to Main Street because you can't turn around there right now. I believe it's RRM. I want to say REI for some reason. RRM is the design consultant. And staff on this, big part of this project was the grant funds. Staff has applied for and received over $1 million in grant funds for this project. Construction should begin in October. And something isn't in your staff report, but I did a little math here, added up the cost of all these projects that are active at the city. There's over $18,700,000 worth of active projects in the city right now. Of that, over $1.5 million is grant funded, and then the $14 million for the wastewater treatment plant is a zero interest loan, I believe. So great success, a lot of stuff going on right now. That's the end of my presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Good job. Great. Thank you. It's a lot of great stuff going on. Thank you so much.
I wanted to say one more thing. Yeah, and I want to make a comment as well. One of the earlier speakers said there wasn't enough engineers graduating, but we certainly got the cream of the crop, Mr. Dalzite and Mr. Ray. We kid about things falling into a black hole, but that certainly isn't happening any longer. Thank you very much. I appreciate all of this.
Great stuff. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item? Please.
Madam Mayor, Honorable Council, if you ride around our city and look at it, look at the streets and drive around Grover and Oceano particularly, and even some places in Arroyo Grande with all their Walmart money, we're looking awfully good. And I also want to say thanks to Dennis and to Greg and all. Other one has to do with the slurry seals on James Way especially. That street is so much better than it was before, and if we had not gotten it done before the heavy rains over the New Year's weekend, we would have been in real trouble in a couple of spots. But thank goodness the work was done before that, and the water ran off like it should. There are a couple of little pulls in it. I call them mini potholes, beginning. I'm wondering if there's any plan to fix those. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Did you want to make a comment?
Yes. The question regarding a mural on the side of some of the units at the plant, I did follow up and discuss it with Tony. We are required to plant vegetation alongside the treatment plant. That is required as part of the environmental document. It's an environmental mitigation. So I talked to Tony and said, you know, Tony, before we try to make a decision on this, why don't we wait till we get that vegetation in and see what it looks like, then bring it back to the council and see if the council, what direction the council would like to go with that. So we're a month or two away from having the vegetation in, and so I think if the council agrees, we can wait and then see what your direction would be at that time.
Okay. Thank you.
As far as the small potholes that are forming on James Way, as it was pointed out. The most desirable way to approach James Way and some of these other streets would be a much more aggressive type of treatment, an overlay, where you would we would go in and grind off the top surface and then put a new overlay, a new paving, a section of paving thickness on top of it. We believe that, well, of course, with the lack of money, we just simply couldn't do that. So I think the rubberized chip seal with a slurry over the top of it is a an excellent way to extend the life of the paving with the amount of money that we currently have. And one of the downsides is, as Art Anthony pointed out, it won't fix some of the areas where there are structural deficiencies in the street that are causing these potholes. So in answer to his question, what will we do about those? We will go in and spot repair those. What we generally do is identify a number of locations that need attention, hire a contractor. He comes in with hot mix and makes repairs on all of the areas that we've identified all at one time.
Great. Thank you so much. Great report.
Can I just ask, in fact, Shelley wasn't here. I think just you and Rudy were here. Do you remember, this was probably 10 years ago.
This is probably 10 years ago. Tony might remember, too. I don't know. Don certainly will. Pepsi-Cola, at one time, came to the city of Pismo Beach and said, let's become a Pepsi town. We'll buy all of your trash cans. We'll paint a mural on the side of your new sewer plant. We'll put Coke or Pepsi machines around town. We'll give the city a percentage of the profit on that. I mean, it was really a big deal. And the stumbling block came through when Coke got word. And then Coke came in and started fighting with us at the CVB, and that's when I was the CVB liaison. And the whole thing went away, and it's never been resurrected again. Now, I don't know that I would want to see the whole side of a sewer plant with a Pepsi sign on it. I certainly wouldn't want to see that. But I do believe that that's something that could be talked about for the downtown. They were going to do maintenance and everything on it. So just a voice out of the past, that things that we've dealt with.
Okay. Thank you. Was there anything else on that report that you needed to tell us?
Can't think of anything. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great.
Okay. With that, let's see. So we're finished with 6A. The next item would be City Manager's Report. I thought I did go out to the public. I did. I didn't close it. Okay. Is there any other public comment?
Don Day, 101 Park Place, Pismo Beach. Madam Mayor, members of the council, one comment, more of a question than a comment. I heard that during the Cypress Street bridge work that three holes were punctured into the sewer line. Is there any truth to that, and did they in fact discharge into the creek?
The answer is yes to both questions.
Are we going to get fined for that?
We don't know yet. What we do is we are required to submit reports. We're required to notify by telephone the regulatory agencies immediately, and then we file a follow-up report. And they consider the circumstances. It's a discretionary type of fine. In other words, staff has a discretion to decide whether or not to fine us. It's not like the mandatory fines that the law requires.
And then I'd also like to commend the engineering in the city for all of the fine work that they've done. We've accomplished an awful lot here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll come back. And now we'll have the city manager's report.
Madam Mayor and Council, what I'd like to do is ask Randy Bloom at this point. We had some questions about where we're headed with the underground parking, which is going to be agendized for a future decision by yourselves. But Randy, I think, can give us a very brief status report this time. What's going on with that?
Thank you. I met yesterday with Frank Benson, and I'm having another meeting in on the 17th. Basically, where we're at is his plans, his portion of the plans is partially finished. The structural points are located where we can come in and take a look at our section potentially. We've reviewed different financing plans. We found out that we can't make the findings for blight, basically, for a redevelopment district. We're too wealthy of a community. And so we're working on a different financing plan. The soils report has been done. We found water at 20 feet, so which is kind of customary. The Sea Venture pumps water. It's customary. So basically, in the next couple of weeks, we'll be putting putting the package and process together. And we're not falling behind schedule. Basically, no construction can start until after the summer season. It'll be this fall. Just because even if the city wasn't a potential participant in it, because of the summer season, everything. And the management plan that has to be put in place for construction, none of that will start until fall. However, fall is a short time around the corner, and so we've been working heavily on it and give a better report in a couple of weeks on where we're at. But that's kind of in a nutshell. We haven't fallen off the page or anything like that. There's a lot of coordinating effort that needs to be done before the package is brought back to council for council review. So that's kind of where we're at.
So are you working with a consultant?
Not today. We're working with the project architect and the engineer, and I have had several conversations with different consultants on financing, and their take was the same as my research, is that we'll have to come with a different financing plan, and we're going to talk to some bond council about financing plan. But no, I don't have a formal consultant under contract right now.
Okay, thank you. Does the council have any?
Is this consistent with Mr. Benson's timeline as well? Are we
yes.
still within
mm-hmm.
the window?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would also add that tomorrow George Eads and I are meeting with a bond lawyer counsel tomorrow, and discuss options for financing, too. But, of course, all of that, the various options will all come back to council for your decision in the end.
Okay. Is there anything else, any other questions of him on this item? No? Okay. Is there any other reports, anything on the sales tax?
No, ma'am, not at this time.
Okay. You've been in touch with the consultant, though, and the.
I've been in touch yesterday. Lori and I had a conference call with Catherine Liu of the Liu Edwards Polling Company. This is on the poll of our citizens as far as what they think is important for our community, and about the possible use of a sales tax to fund infrastructure repairs. But I have further negotiations and talks with her scheduled for next week.
Okay.
Can I just ask a quick question? His survey only costs $20 to sign up. So I'm hoping maybe you can put that into the box. I don't know why we got a call poll to do it. So, and I don't know what I'm talking about. All I know is what he said. Thank you.
That's true.
It's a little bit different when you're talking about passing a measure on the.
No, because all you're looking for is information. Just all you want is information.
All you want is just information. So we don't have to fire some fancy schmancy place to come down here and do all of that. The chamber's doing it right now as an example, and it's citywide.
But you're talking about putting a measure on the ballot. And you're trying to get information that would be helpful to give us information to make that decision whether we want to put it on the ballot.
Yeah, but you write your own questions. Can we at least just look at it? Just look at it. $20 versus $20.
It harkens back a long way to a class that I took in college about statistical methodology in polling. There's a reason that these consultants get paid what they do, because setting up the appropriate poll questions, and I don't know if Councilmember Rabinault was at the presentation that Catherine Liu gave, I think it was at Rose's earlier last year, about how the nature of the drafting of the questions can impact the results. Also, just the methodology. One of the problems with online surveys is that they tend to disproportionately be responded to by young people and upper income classes, people who have access to computer and who are comfortable with them. So you're still going to need some kind of backup in the methodology. And that's just the reality of computer usage. It's not to say that older people or people in lower socioeconomic classes don't use them. It's just that when you're looking for a margin of error on a polling sampling, that's something that you take into account, and it can affect the polling results. So I would urge some caution or at least some investigation as to the methodologies used by SurveyMonkey.com or any other online polling to make sure that those type of factors are accounted for in the final statistical results.
But I disagree with you.
And we did give direction to go ahead and hire someone to do that.
This is where I disagree with you. And because, and I think Tony said it very succinctly up there, we just want to know what the people think. What you're talking about is Dr. Liu is going to go out there and is going to fabricate questions to give us the answers that we want. Right? That's exactly what you just told me.
No, what I'm saying is that the questions can be asked in a method that don't skew the results one way or another. They're designed to be neutral questions, and that's where the experience of these consultants comes in, because if you ask the question improperly, you're going to guarantee a result. And the reason that you get people like this involved is they can show case studies on, you take a look at the national polling data, how you ask a question can change by just changing one word in it. And also the nature, the ordering of questions. For example, a recent statistical one that I saw is that if you ask people a question just randomly about how they feel about death, and then you start asking them about national security, 85% will favor an increase in taxes to do national security. If you don't ask that question preceding it, the number drops significantly. So there's a whole science to it, and it's probably more than a college course could even teach, but it's pretty fascinating science, and there are people who are well versed in it. So.
Okay, City Attorney's report.
I think I've said quite enough now. Thank you.
Okay, council subcommittee reports. Does anyone have anything?
Meeting tomorrow.
Okay. You're having one after this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Did you have anything?
You know, I apologize. I forgot my notes from the CVB meeting, so I'll update you next month.
Okay. Councilmember Natoli, do you have anything?
On the 22nd, we'll have a integrated waste management meeting with the board, and I will be going down to Los Angeles for the board of directors meeting for the League of California Cities on Friday morning, about 5:00. So we'll be there Friday and Saturday, and I've got some questions I got to get answered for our city. And I'll bring back whatever results I can muster up from the board of directors. And that's all I have.
Okay.
Go ahead. And then Councilmember Natoli, myself, the city manager, and the city attorney will be having a meeting after this meeting on mobile home rent stabilization.
Okay. And, of course, I have SLOCOG tomorrow, and I will report back to you afterward how that came out. And I think that's it. So the next item is pulled consent agenda items, and we'll have to take item 4I first, since the other two items are based on the figures from that item. So we'll take 4I first. Mr. City Manager.
Okay, Madam Mayor and Council, I'd like to go ahead and ask George Eads to come up and talk about item 4I, which is the resolution ratifying and approving the new MOU with the Police Officers Association. George, please.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. Madam Mayor and City Council members, this agenda item is asking you to adopt a resolution approving and ratifying a new four-year agreement, a memorandum of understanding with the Police Officers Association, and appropriating additional funds for the current two-year budget.
John Day, 101 Park Place, Madam Mayor, members of the council. I keep bringing this up, and I'm going to ask it again. Every time I read the paper anymore, it seems like once a week, there's somebody commenting about the additional costs of the retirement programs in this community and this country for various unions and agencies. Sheriff's Department was in this paper the other day, $4 million in the next 2 years in additional costs. And I'm not talking about whether people deserve it or not, and it's not personal. It has to do with fiscal responsibility and whether we have the ability in a down economy, which is going to happen someday, to continue to offer these benefits. I asked the city attorney, and he can speak for himself certainly, but I believe what he told me was is that we contractually are obligated to the retirees prior to the present employees. So if we get into a fiscal problem like we had a few years ago, we're unable to pay our retirement debts that we've obligated ourselves to, we have to lay people off. That's not a good position for this community or any community to be in, because I think it's detrimental to the ongoing business of running a community. If you look at, again, and I am not an economist, although I am self-employed and I have to reach into my pocket to pay my bills on my own. If you look at some of the numbers that we're looking at, if you go to, I think it's a level D at the police department, the retirement in 2008 will be $82,000. It will be 90% of the $90,000 salary range, and that will be ongoing for life. And as I've pointed out before, if an officer were to retire, go to work at 20, retire at 50, he's probably got 25 years of good life left, which we would be paying for. And I understand that that's part of PERS, and that's supposedly factored in. But if I'm not mistaken, PERS is the same agency that told us a few years ago that we had no problems and we could cut back on our contributions. And lo and behold, we then asked a few years later, once the stock market tumbled, to make major contributions to catch up. So my concern is, are we pragmatic enough and conservative enough that in a down market we're protected, that this community is protected and won't have to go back to the 90s where we were laying employees off, services suffered, and as a consequence, the community suffered? So that's the basic question I have. I don't believe the public sector gets anywhere near these kinds of retirements or these kinds of benefits. I mean, the private sector, and we seem to be giving the public sector a overly generous, I guess, program that's being paid for by the public, by the residents, by the business community. And I'm not sure that we can continue to give away more and more, because it seems like, and again, I'm not privileged to the negotiations, and I'll admit that, but it seems like one group looks to another group for what they're getting. They raise themselves to that level. At the next go-around, this group that's up here now has set the precedent. This group came up to it. Somebody else goes up again, and it's self-feeding, and it perpetuates itself, and the pyramid keeps climbing. And it's at the public expense. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this item?
Madam Mayor, members of council, Tony Spinelli. Excuse me. You know, about 4 weeks ago, the mayor of San Diego was on the news, and he was talking about this exact situation, and where San Diego financially is they are in a financial crisis because specifically said because of these retirement packages that they have handed out over the years. And you know, I too echo what Don's feeling. You know, and you know, with all due respect to you know, the city employees and state employees, you know, governmental agencies and so forth, you know, those of us that are self-employed, we look at things a lot differently. But when you start seeing these major corporations, IBM, Ford, Chevy, and they're all in these financial crises right now, and I'm to the tunes of billions and billions of dollars, it makes you think about what we're looking at in our future horizon. So with all due respect to the packages that everybody has agreed upon here, we need to really consider the where we're going economically. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? I would only say that, you know, as a council, we try to remain competitive, and I think this is exactly what happens out there, is trying to remain competitive. We just, you know, keep reaching new heights. And you will see probably the legislature come down with some bills to try to...
A lot of thought to. And like Mary Ann said, I do think that there is something that is at least being talked about in the legislature, but it really needs to come from the federal government, because it also needs to impact the working people that work in the private sector. You know, it's always been my contention, you know, you got a young lady out there with two children making $7 an hour and can't even afford health insurance. That is the reality of the Central Coast, because it's a tourism-based economy out here. So I'll tell you, this was not an easy... I just want you to know we thought about it very, very hard. Thank you.
And I'm going to say one more thing. I think that if you talk to the police officers, there's some things that they gave up in this contract, too, that they did not want to give up. So there was some give and take here. But with that, I'll entertain a motion. On item 4I.
I'll move to approve item 4I.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you.
I wonder if the other two items were the same speech. They were.
Well, then can I repeat what you said?
is there anything additional that you wanted to say that to this? If there isn't.
Yeah.
We have to address. Well, let's take item 4G and have the staff present this item.
Madam Mayor and Council, what I'd like to do is ask Deborah Garcia, who wrote this staff report, who's our human resources officer, to come on up and give the staff report. And let's do it item by item, since each does require a separate resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. Madam Mayor, Council People, the agenda item 4G is a resolution of the City Council to approve fixing the employer contribution under the Public Employees Medical and Hospital Care Act for those employees within the designation of Employer Code 0899 and rescinding Resolution 2005-26. In summary, this resolution before you is to update the fixed employer contribution on record with CalPERS. A resolution must be passed and filed with CalPERS to do this. The fixed rate is filed in compliance with Government Code Section 22892 and is used to calculate the employer contribution to health benefits for retirees. As the city's employer contribution to health benefits change per MOUs and resolutions each year or are defined for each year, the rates must be fixed by resolution and filed with CalPERS. The changes to the contributions have been defined in prior resolutions as identified in the staff report and in the MOUs for the SEIU and POA. The fiscal impact of this resolution for Employer Code 0899, which by definition is our active employees, is 5% of the monthly contribution would be calculated on the current contributions by the city. We currently have 6 retirees at an average cost of $160. The resolution would have a fiscal impact of $1,200 to $2,500 annually. It's the staff's recommendation that you adopt this resolution. Any
Thank
questions?
You. Does anybody have any questions from the council? Okay. Seeing none, I will go to the public and see if there's any comment on this item. There's no...
Getting old now.
Well, Don Day, 101 Park Place, Madam Mayor, members of the council. You know, this isn't my area of expertise, if I even have one, but I'm going to revert back to something else that was in relative to fiscal impact. And I understand that you, the council, and other representatives spent a lot of time studying this, and you looked into it, and you did an eight-year forecast, and you analyzed this. And my only comment is that we did that when we had the PERS fiasco a few years ago. We made our best guess, and it turned to you-know-what. The benefit of having been in the economy a long time, being older, whatever you want to say, is I've seen some economic ups and downs. I've been through times when I'm in construction, as some of you know, when it's been feast and famine, good times and bad. Cities go through that too. The curve is not always like this, as George and I have discussed many times. The slope is important as well as many other things, which is indicative of how well you're doing. A poor estimate. The general fund currently has available unallocated funds together with projected revenues. That in and of itself says much. Do we have to grow revenues, the projected revenues, or do we have sufficient funds today to pay 2008 expenses? Are we counting on a growth curve that may be too steep? Are we being conservative enough and flat enough on the growth curve that we can truthfully say that in a down market, a down economy, we can continue to pay for these employees? Thank you.
You're exactly right.
Thank you.
Once again, Tony Spinelli. You know, I want to follow up on what I spoke of just a minute ago. You know, I'm not discrediting you folks at all. I want you to understand that. What I'm trying to suggest is that we take a look. You know, San Diego is 20 times bigger than we are. We just have to learn by other people's mistakes. And when you start seeing this stuff happening, you know, it goes without saying. It can happen to us. And like Don said, I've been here since 71. I mean, I've been seeing those ups and downs and thought in 89, we'll never see this market turn down. And then in 91, as Don had seen, I had friends also fall flat on their face financially. So, and then we've seen the city go through it. So I just want you to understand, I'm not discrediting your decision. I'm just saying let's be cautious on what we're doing down the road, because if these cities are starting to notice it, it sure can trickle down to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll come back to the council. Is there any comments or questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion on this item.
I'd like to move approval of 4G.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second on 4G.
Councilmember Ravenault?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Yes.
And Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, 4H. Staff, please give the report.
Madam Mayor and Council, I'd like to go ahead and do the same thing with the next item and ask Deborah Garcia to do the staff report. Before she does that, I'd just like to make some comments, because I think actually what Tony and Don Day brought up tonight, you have, all of us really, are concerned about it. It's, you know, and I think I've talked to Don about this before. I mean, it is a concern, but some things I think that the council has done well is in restraining hiring. You know, what happened here in California back in 98, 99, 2000, if I understand it correctly, I was overseas at the time, but as the budget grew, California, the state, added lots of new programs and lots of new people onto the payrolls. We right now in Pismo Beach are fiscally very strong, unlike some of our other cities here in San Luis Obispo County. The council did restrain hiring, actually only hired one new position, actually the lady that's standing before you, in the last two-year budget cycle. And I can tell you my recommendation is always to be very conservative when adding new folks to staff, full-time staff. My time too. Okay. All right. I'm done.
Thank you.
But it is to be very fiscally conservative and to be very conservative when adding new people, because those people go on and on and on and on along with their PERS benefits.
Yep.
Secondly, the council, one of the council members previously asked that the staff consider when we go through the mid-cycle review in July and August, of that we consider increasing reserves from 15% to 20%. So we'll be coming forward with that to council and seeing if you want to do that. Because right now we're maintaining 15%.
Good idea.
So that's enough. Okay. Deborah.
Thank you. Agenda item 4H that's before you is a resolution similar to the last one. This is for a designation of Employer Code 7341, which by definition is retirees from City Council. Currently, there are no retirees from City Council taking advantage of this health benefit, and so the fiscal impact currently is zero. It is the exact same calculation as 4G in that it's 5% of the current contribution that we must file with PERS by resolution. So staff again recommends that you adopt this resolution.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to this item?
We give up. We can't.
Don Day one.
Definition to be used for this 5% calculation. So it would have been all together, except they're two separate employer codes. We have to do it by separate resolution. So again, there's no current retirees from council. So there's.
How long do you have to be on the council to retire?
That's a different question. I don't know. I'd have to find out.
Having said all of that, my only comment and concern would be is that we continue to be diligent and fiscally responsible as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any comments or questions from the council? If not, I'll entertain a motion. Is there any further comment from the public?
Madam Mayor, council members, earlier today I talked to Deborah about this one, 4-H, because I knew it was retirees, and I knew there were none, and it's in the future, perhaps. But I wondered about the propriety of city councilmen voting on their own potential futures or futures of other people who will be city councilmen in the future. Deborah tells me she's checked with the city attorney, and he has an answer to that. I think you should hear it.
I guess as long as we're not one, we can, right?
Well, there's a couple layers on this one. This is applying to annuitants. This is not applying to active council members, so you've got that issue. But there's also a government code section in the 53,000 series basically says that those provisions that you're familiar with about raising your own salary while you're in office don't apply to health and welfare benefits. So basically the reason that is there is a limitation in the government code on how much health and welfare benefits you can give yourselves. You can't give yourselves any better than the non-safety employees. So there's already a cap on it. So what you would have to do, if presumably if you wanted to raise the health and welfare benefits for all employees, then yours would rise with that tide, even while you're in office under that code section. But it is a little bit different than compensation.
I'd like to move to approve 4-H.
Yes, second
H.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for approval of 4-H.
Councilmember Ravenault?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G?
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli?
Yes.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, with no more items left on the agenda, we are hereby adjourned.
All right. Thank you, guys.